And welcome to Big Gay Energy. I'm Bree.
I'm Theora.
And I'm Caitlin.
Come along with us while we dive into the fun and nuances of queer media. Representation matters, and we're here to talk about it.
Cheers, queers. What's on the Big Gay agenda today, Theora?
Today, the most important item, according to our Lord and Savior Lesbian Jesus, is High School Musical, the musical, the series, season 3, which is so many words.
What do you mean it's normal?
Is it though?
I mean, I've been saying it for like 4 months now, so yeah.
I mean, halfway through the show, I suppose it is normalized. But yes, we are continuing our discussion on High School Musical, the series. This episode is going to be dedicated to season 3. So if you've never seen it before, probably go back and A, watch it, and then B, go to our other episodes about season 1 and season 2, and then come back here. I don't know why you would start on this episode for your very first Big Gay Energy episode, but hey, welcome. We're happy to have you.
All the seasons are so different.
That is true. That is true. Maybe you're just a fan of gay summer camp. No judgment. Maybe you're just a fan of drama over 2 week periods. No judgment. Maybe you just really love Frozen. No judgment. So welcome. We're glad to have you here. But before we jump into all of that, I think we need to do a bit of quick housekeeping before we dive into all the Big Gay agenda stuff.
Yes. So if you're watching this podcast on YouTube, be sure to to subscribe to our channel. Give this video a like and drop a comment to share your thoughts. We absolutely love hearing from you. For our podcast listeners, please download this episode and leave a review if you can. Your engagement helps us reach a broader audience and spread the joy of queer content.
I'm for like a flight attendant. Go to the exits.
Theora is currently acting out everything I'm saying.
Yes.
For even more exclusive queer content, early access to videos, and full reaction videos, join us on Patreon. Dive into discussions on our Discord channel where we enjoy connecting with all of you.
Yes.
Explore our merchandise at biggayenergypod.com to show your support. All links will be in the description. Lastly, stay connected with us on all social media platforms by following at @biggayenergypod. Your interactions mean the world to us, and these actions contribute to our ongoing celebration of queer media and advocacy for better representation.
Woo!
It really does feel like an in-flight safety commercial.
Yes, thank you for flying Big Gay Energy Podcast. We hope to get you to your destination of queer joy and good representation. So, where's this flight headed, Caitlin?
We are headed to, I believe, Southern California.
I think
so. We are out of Salt Lake City now.
Woo!
And we are going to Camp Shallow Lake.
What a name.
Which I can't figure out if it's just a musical theater camp or if it's, because they talk about how all the counselors are just sports people now. So I'm like, is this a musical theater camp? Do they, anyway.
Yeah, it's very weird because the way like EJ talks about it doesn't match the actual camp vibe, so it's weird. Because there's, like, you just said.
I don't know.
Anyway. Who do we meet at summer camp, Caitlin?
We are introduced to Maddox. And of course, yes. I had to name her first because, again, we've already stated my bias in the first episode.
Yes.
Jet, Maddox's brother, and Val, one of the camp counselors.
And a queer awakening for someone.
Yes. Val is also important.
Give her credit. We need her. We do need her. Jet, I could do without, but we need both of those women.
I warm up to Jet later, but yeah, in this season, I'm good. There are actually quite a few new additions in the season, so honorable mentions go to Emmy, Alex, Dewey, and unfortunately, Alex. No, not Alex. It wasn't supposed to be Alex.
I'm so sorry, Alex.
Alex, you're great. Alex is Emmy's friend. Unfortunately, Channing. Oh, darn. My brain.
Oh, the
right
filmographer
now.
Dude.
Yeah, that dude. That dude who wants to cause everybody's life to be ruined. Oh, and then we also have Corbin that I keep forgetting to put in there.
Yeah, but who cares about the adults?
I mean, they cared about him. Anyway.
So, all right, so wait. So basically, this is the season. Quick recap. So in this season, they're at summer camp, like Caitlin says. And basically, it's like over a 2-week period that the summer camp happens. And the special thing going on at the camp is that Corbin landed a reality show where he's like the host of this camp for some reason, is putting on Frozen the Musical before anyone else gets the rights to Frozen the Musical. So they're trying to document the kids putting on this play. But then it turns into like, wait, it's a reality show, so it can't be like a true documentary. It's supposed to have a bunch of drama. So they try to like instigate fake drama for like TV, which sounds really weird because it's a Disney, and they plug Disney Channel like multiple times. They're like, it's gonna be on Disney Plus, Disney Plus, Disney Plus. This is where I felt like I was watching an ad for Disney on Disney, and I was like, why are you doing this? But like, that's not on Disney brand, so I'm like, this doesn't make any sense that Disney would sign off on this shit where they're like, no, we want it to be cutthroat drama, because like, in what universe is that a Disney show? Like, it's so weird. They like, why did Channing be like, yeah, show. That's what Disney wants.
I forget what it's called, but they tried to do a reality show with kids. I think it might have been out of camp, too.
Making them cutthroat people?
No, I don't know. I didn't watch it. But I didn't know it was a thing.
Does that sound like what Disney would put on their platform, though?
Disney
like,
Plus, maybe. Disney Plus is getting weird. So, I mean, season 4, it gets so, like... there's just, like, more. It's not, like... to the point where it's not Disney anymore, but like they're getting more adventurous with some things, I feel like.
I guess, but I feel like Channing doesn't know what channel this is going to, like what streaming platform
this is
going on. But I mean, like
Dance Moms is on Disney Plus. I mean, it's not a Disney Plus show, but.
But like for Disney Plus to be the producer, which he said many times, it just. It feels like that's not the vibe they want. They want wholesome shit. So, like, it's very weird from the beginning where he's like, yeah, no, this is what we need to do. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like a Disney direction to me. Like, sounds like you don't understand the project. But, of course, it comes together at the end and it's wholesome because that's what Disney is. So, anyway. But that's what this season is all about, basically.
Is it wholesome?
It's Disney wholesome.
Okay, I would like to talk about someone near and dear to my heart first.
Channing.
I know. Yes, that asshole.
Near and dear to my angina. Near and dear to my therapy bills. Go ahead. No, sorry.
You're good. No. I would like to talk about Maddox.
Please do.
Because the more I think about her and the more I watch of her on the screen and just like fully understand who she is as a person, the more I come to love her. So,
agreed.
Maddox is the stage manager and has been going to camp with EJ and Nene every summer. Nene's not here.
Yes, thank God. I'm not gonna lie, I skipped her every time she was on screen this season because she's not with them at summer camp. It's like a select group that went to camp of the Wildcats, and Nene was not one of them. Nene fucked off and is doing her own thing.
Yeah, they got rid of, I mean, Nene was still in it, like, very little.
They're phasing out Olivia Rodrigo so she could go become Olivia Rodrigo in the real world. And then I hate the part in the beginning where they're like, oh, Ricky's doing his own thing. And it's like, cool, we're not going to have him either. And then by the end of the first episode, he shows up at camp. And I'm like, God damn it, we can't get a break from YouTube for one season. I wonder who's going to be the male lead this in this. Like, there's only one.
No. Well, yeah, technically, but no.
No, but I mean, like, in the realm of High School Musical, the musical, the series, like, there can only be one man who's actually going to be cast as the lead, and it's always Ricky.
Anyway.
Poor EJ. He got real screwed this season. I feel really bad for him, not going to lie. He got fucked. Sorry, I know this is the Maddox section, but...
Oh, no, it's fine. Okay, so, Now, Theora just brought up like a couple things we need to talk about. So we have to put Maddox on hold real quick.
Sorry, Maddox.
So sorry, Maddox. Oh, Sailor, you're amazing. Okay, so yes, EJ, I feel like after last season, like he just keeps getting hit and hit and hit with more stuff. Should we just talk about EJ's
real quick. Okay, so yeah, here's how the beginning of the show... Okay, I have things to say about season three, because I'm just like, it's 2 weeks, keep this in mind. And I'm just like, this is so absurd. But teenager brains who don't conceptualize time very well, because they don't. So anyway, like, it's like EJ, Gina, Carlos, who else is in the car?
Ashlyn.
It was just them, right?
Yeah.
They all drive together. Okay. Sorry. I'm trying to picture it in my brain. It's a little fuzzy.
How could she not name Ashlyn first, guys? Like,
I was like, I was in my brain looking at the car. So EJ's driving, Gina's next to him, then there's Carlos. I was like, who else is back there? Ashlyn. So they're all like excited and singing, and they're like, we're gonna go to camp, and EJ's gone a billion times. So he's like,
and Courtney.
Was she in the car?
I don't know. I swear she has to be.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's why I was like, there's people in this car. Okay, yeah. So
There's people in this car.
I just couldn't remember.
Completely filled up.
I couldn't remember. So, like, for some reason, they're the only ones going to the summer camp. It's them.
They kick out Big Red and Seb. They're like, nope, you guys aren't allowed to come.
Yes, I was going to get to that. Because, like, they make up stupid excuses why they're not going. And I'm like, okay. So we, like, for some reason, pared the cast down for this summer camp, which is... I mean, true to an extent, not everybody's going to go to the summer camp, otherwise it'd be weird in real life, but, like, it's weird enough.
Also, they add too many, though, so.
Yes. So, anyway, they go to the camp. They're all excited. EJ's, like, a veteran of this camp, and so he's, like, we're going to have so much fun, and, like, him and Gina are dating for real, finally, and he's, like, this is going to be great. I'm going to show you all these things. We're going to have so much fun. And then the whole thing with the documentary starts, and... Corbin's like, well, I'm not actually involved. I'm just here to, like, promote this thing and film some shit. So you guys are gonna have to figure this shit out, like, who's directing, who's actually doing it. And so for some reason at this camp where EJ learned to be a great actor and NeNe learned to be a great actress, nobody knows how to run theater, which doesn't make sense. So the director of the camp, or Dewey, is like, well, I guess you're doing it, EJ, because you know everything about this camp, as was established when you're teaching your friends about it, so you're in charge. So poor EJ can't, like, enjoy his last summer camp before he goes to college. He has to, like, be in charge. And when you're in charge of something, it changes your entire behavior, because, like, he's the boss of everybody and, like, didn't ask for this. So poor EJ. So, like, basically that starts the tension with Gina throughout the whole time, where she's like, wow, I thought we were going to spend all this time together and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, girl, he got put in charge of this thing he didn't ask to be in charge of, and you're, like, mad at him. And it's 2 weeks. It's just 2 weeks out of your whole summer. And they're like, the summer's ruined. And it's like, it's 2 weeks. You get 3 months off for summer. Like, just have the rest of the summer. Why is everything weighted on this 2 week period? It's so stupid.
Try but, like, the pressure, because, like, not only is he directing his first show ever that he's never done,
correct,
has never even thought about directing, but it's going to be a documentary aired on Disney Plus
for everyone.
I'm screaming it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not nothing. And if you, like, cared about him, you would understand that and be like, yeah, this is an insane circumstance. Yeah, shit's gonna be weird because nobody knew we were gonna be doing this. Like, have some compassion for, like, poor EJ. Like, but no, it's like, no, we obviously can't be together because these 2 weeks have been so weird. And it's like, when else are you going to be in this position at this summer camp? Like, never. Like, just, oh, it's so stupid. I was like, it felt like they were forcing drama just to break them up. Just to break them up. And it's like, this is insane and it's not real life. Like, it is weird.
To be honest, I kind of wish theirs was more mutual.
So, yeah, I agree. Like,
they were growing apart.
In the 2 weeks? It was 2 weeks.
No, like, I meant before that. Let's be real. They were never really going to be a thing.
No.
And at, like, that point, yeah. Season 4, Gina would make more sense for them to break up. But whatever. They go through multiple personality changes each season. Like, I don't think they keep
a personality. No, for real, they do.
It really confuses the shit out of me, because we'll get to the Ashlyn section where, like, I completely go off about this.
100%. No, that is exactly what it is. And that's why
it's because no one has the same personality season to season.
No. But, like, also, though, why this one pissed me off the most, though, is just because, like, yeah, teenagers are growing, they're hormonal, they change. Like, absolutely. And, like, when it's happening over the period of a school year or a semester, it makes more sense because you have more time to, like, change. This is a 2-week ordeal. And, like, everybody changes their personality in 2 weeks. And I'm like, and they're basing life decisions off of camp. And it's like, camp is not real life. Camp is a vacation. Like, it's like those people who are just like, yeah, we're going to live in Hawaii and get this house. And then they do it and they're like, we can't afford this. And it's like, yeah, no shit, dude, this was not real life. Like, you can't base your life off of this fantasy vacation. And that's what they're doing. And I'm like, what are they doing? This is so wild.
I will say that musical theater camps are a different breed. That's not vacation. Like, you're not even allowed to treat it like that.
I'm sure if it's actually a theater camp, but this isn't actually a theater camp. It's set up as a regular camp.
I don't understand this camp. Okay.
The way EJ talks about it, he's like, yeah, we go in the canoe, we do all this shit. Like, it's a regular camp that also has theater. It's not like theater camp. Like, when I was young, I went to lacrosse camp. You're right. That is not a vacation. You're training to do something. Like, that's not what this is, what they're doing. They're in some hybrid where there's, like, also a play, but it's mostly about camp. Like, there's camp traditions. There's, like, all of this stuff. But
I would have loved to, like, go to a camp like that. My camp just kept giving me panic attacks.
Yeah, like, poor EJ. Anyway, so that's my rant about that. Because I thought this was... It just feels like the writers were trying to force shit. Like, again, it's the relationship McGovern's. They keep being like, okay, the plot is, like, the play, but we also have to, like, move the characters in relationships we need them in, so we have to, like, force drama, and it just feels forced and not natural, particularly in this 2-week time span, which, like, drove me insane, because I'm like, I can see very transparently that you were trying to force EJ and Gina apart, who were fine until they got to this camp, and then put her with Ricky from the beginning. I'm like, that's what you're... Just do it. Get it over with. I don't care. Stop, like... forcing this ridiculousness on me. That's wild, man.
You brought up that EJ was, like, thrown into directing it. And so, like, I just keep thinking about that time, like, when he was in the tent working on stuff because they had, like, a huge film day the next day. And everybody just kept interrupting him and being like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And I'm just like, I know exactly what that feeling was like. Because, like, right. I worked on something where I was, like, working 24/7 and, like, nothing was going right. And everything is on you.
You're in charge. It changes everything when you are the one responsible versus you're the one in it. And, like, nobody has compassion for EJ when he's in this position he didn't ask to be in.
This whole season is very selfish on everyone's part.
Yeah, I totally. Yeah, that's what it is. Maybe that's why it drives me nuts. And I'm like, why can't you see what he's going through?
But I guess they're all going through shit.
But, like, in the context of the play, maybe it's because, like, the kids never have to actually put themselves in that position because an adult is always doing it. And they just assume, oh, like, Miss Jen's going to take it. Like, they never think about what Miss Jen actually has to do to, like, get their shit, like, get their plays going. They just show up and they're like, I'm in the play, whatever. But, like, all the stuff she gets paid to go through, like, they never put themselves in that position. But then here's EJ, you see your friend doing it and, like, not an
At one
of
point,
compassion.
Oh my god, I almost said Frankie. Carlos, Carlos does help him, which was cool to see him in, like, the thing and actually working with EJ.
Yeah,
because Carlos is the one. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So he should have had the most compassion because he's kind of been the second in command in a way. But man, that drove me nuts. I'm like, he has to do this. Like, what? Like, leave him alone. Oh my god.
Yeah,
and it's like, we can never be together because of the way you're behaving. It's like, he's in charge of the play. Leave him alone. This is not real life. Sorry, the whole thing with him and Gina really pissed me off because it was just so forced. It was just so forced. I hate it so much.
Anyway. But something I did love about EJ's journey is that he calls in Miss Jen.
Yeah, that was cute.
And just to teach him how to be a director. And she just comes in with, like, 50 bullet points. It's like, okay, so this is what you need to do. You need to make an entrance when you walk into the room.
Oh my god, I love her lessons. That was really great. I did appreciate that whole episode with her.
It was definitely weird not having her the whole season.
It was weird. And then I like where their relationship in particular goes forward because they bond over this and become more on equal ground. Because, like, EJ is growing up. He's, like, graduated, actually getting out of the high school. So I like that him and Jen, Miss Jen, come to more of a, like, we're adults on more equal footing with each other. And it kind of starts here. So I thought that was really cute and important.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
And then she's also so happy to see her babies. Only that was a really weird... When they had Miss Jen say, "Everybody quiet, mommy's talking," I just felt very weird with that.
I was into that. I was like, yes, keep talking, Miss Jen. Yeah. What do you want? I'm here for this.
I'm like...
Yeah. That was for, like, the adult lesbians in the room. We're like... Yeah, shut up. Mommy's talking. Let her talk. Let her talk.
And then also when she told EJ to find someone like Carlos if he were at the camp, and EJ goes, "He is at the camp." And she goes, "Don't take Carlos. Carlos is mommy's."
I do love that.
She has great comedic timing.
Yes, agreed.
Okay. Anything else about EJ?
No, I just, he's fine. Just bothered me, but... Thank you for letting me rant.
Oh, but he also has, like, the pressure from his dad.
That's the other thing, too.
We saw a little bit of it last season, I believe, where, like, his dad basically bought his way into college. Was this before or after that big scandal? So, like, his dad wants him to succeed, doesn't want to let him not. At one point, he's told... I don't even know what his college plans are. I forget.
Well, basically, it's not so much that he wants EJ to succeed. Dad is more interested in the legacy of the men in their family. And he's like, no, like, all of us went to Duke. You're going to Duke because that's the family legacy. And, like, he's like, all of us are successful business people. You have to be a successful business. It's one of those things. He's like, dad is imprinting the family life onto EJ and not letting EJ be EJ. And so there's that friction with his dad. So his dad is trying to send him... Because EJ wanted to take... The other thing with Gina is that EJ was going to take a gap year, basically, and be like, I'm not going to go to school yet. I want to figure my shit out. And stay in Salt Lake. So, like, him and Gina could be a thing, and he could figure out what he wants to do, because he doesn't know. So dad's like, fuck that shit. You have to be successful. So he's trying to send him to some, like, leadership training or, like...
Oh, it was, like, something... Or Cash Caswell's, like, leadership training
program. Right, exactly. Like, something like that. Where he's like, no, you need to do something that's going to gear you towards success in business. You're not taking time off. So, like, dad was forcing him into that. So EJ's like, well, okay, I didn't want to be in charge of this play, but if I can prove that it's successful and it makes a lot of money on TV, then maybe my dad won't send me to this, like, leadership thing. I can just be like, look, I'm already a leader. Like, please stop trying to control me. So that's the other element of pressure onto EJ to make this play and the documentary specifically, not just the play, the documentary a tangible success that he could show his dad as proof that he's finding his own way and being successful. That's the lesson at the end of the day.
And apparently to measure the success, you have to be trending in Brazil, which is funny because the Brazilians, they go hard with their fandoms. Okay, if you're big there, you're going to make it. That's what it feels like. So I think that's what that was about. But I was like, that's very specific and odd.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was like, okay, sure. Maybe it's a theater thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a Disney thing.
But they are very hardcore in Brazil. Sure. At least that's like, because online, like, you always see, like, they're into it. So
good for them. Good for you. Brazilians. If you're listening from Brazil, get on you. Help us trend.
Can we talk about Maddox now?
Yeah. Let's go.
Cool. Woo! All right, so Maddox, just like me, she is happy and full of energy when she wakes up. And, yeah, she gets to, I think it's a bugle that she plays in the morning to the Shallow Lake song that she sings. And I just love that. Not everyone appreciates that. I died it down when I was with Theora.
That's a classic camp thing, though, is the bugle in the morning.
Is it?
Wake everybody up. Yeah, it's like a camp thing.
Oh, okay.
They're establishing that she is very attached to the traditions at this camp and takes them seriously and takes joy in them. That's what they're establishing.
Got it. Okay, yes, because she's always talking about newbie initiation night and camp traditions, camp nicknames. Like, she loves... This is her home.
Correct.
Her home life, she has a brother, Jet, who we don't find out his brother till like halfway through, and then no one else finds out about it till like a little longer.
Yes.
And they have a very strained relationship in this season.
For good reasons. Like, God damn it, Jet, you little gosh. Bitch.
All right, so let's talk about what Jet did.
Little bitch.
So Jet outed Maddox to their parents apparently without meaning to. Like, he thought that Madison was a guy. Which, I mean, like, the typical Madison name, I feel like, is female.
But also, regardless of whether you're trying to out somebody or not, like, what he did was fucked up. He was mad. He's like, oh, my sister's dating when I'm not allowed to or something. I'm just gonna, like, show it to mom and dad to get her in trouble. And then he inadvertently outs her by doing that because it was a girl. And, like, yeah. So it was fucked up no matter what. Like, he was intentionally trying to get her in trouble. So, like, you can't be like, oh, he didn't mean to. No, he meant to get her in trouble, but then he outed her in the process, which he didn't mean to do that. But either way, he was being a little bitch.
And yes. He also, apparently, there's, like, it's more than just that. So, like, their relationship has been strained for so long. They used to be really close, but as they grew up, I guess personality changes.
Hormones.
Yeah, he's, like, not being there for her. Like, I feel like she needs to be reassured by people.
Yeah, I mean, she became very isolated. Like, that's why she clings to camp. She became very isolated and clings to things where she feels safe, which is why camp is such a haven and why she, like, freaks out when camp things don't go well, because, like, that's her safety. That's what she knows. That's familiarity. She knows who she is in that setting. She doesn't know who she is in her family anymore. It's like, she's kind of isolated.
But at camp, when we're meeting her, after the first rehearsal, I believe, Courtney offers to help with costumes because, you know, that's Courtney's thing. And that was her whole personality in season one. And Maddox tells her that, that Maddox always does it and can handle it. And Courtney kind of just, like, shuts up and she's like, and walks away. And I feel for Maddox in this moment because she looks and she's like, oh shit, I said something wrong. And she goes to say something, but Courtney's already gone. And after that, we get a confessional type footage of her saying, so the thing about me is that people sometimes call me an acquired taste, which is a fancy way of saying I'm not for everyone. Which I pretend I'm fine with, like it makes me cool or something, but it actually kind of hurts my feelings. And like this is what you need to know about Maddox, is that she looks confident, but on the inside, she does internalize everything that people say about her, which makes Jet's betrayal even more hurtful for her. And probably why she doesn't do as well with people.
She has Beatrice syndrome, where she basically, like, doesn't know who she is. She's not super confident with who she is, so she hides behind the things she can do. So she's valuable to people if she's doing things. Like, I'm going to play the bugle in the morning. I keep the camp going that way. I have value. I am the person who handles all of the costumes, so nobody else has to, so everybody else can have fun. I have value. That's a lot of what she does. So as the stage manager and costume designer and all of that stuff, Maddox is valuable to the production. She can hide. It's a hiding role, too. She's not in the play. She's not really interacting the way the actors interact, but she's hiding behind the skill set she has. So, like, that's the other facet to her. So, yeah, it makes sense that kind of character who's hiding behind skills is internalizing a lot of things. Those two things tend to go hand in hand, and she definitely has those traits going on.
I mean, I was online looking at everything I could possibly for High School Musical, the musical, the series. And
very important to say all the words, Caitlin.
You have to, because if I just said High School Musical, it'd be the movies. So, yes. And someone brought up that they think that Maddox might be neurodivergent. And it got me thinking, and it really does seem like that, especially in season 3 when she is having trouble communicating and relating to the new kids. And, like, especially, she doesn't have a filter. She does say, like, whatever, like, pops into her brain most of the time. And I relate to her a lot, which is probably why I love her so much. And it makes me really sad that people didn't like her in the beginning, especially when Ashlyn says, don't you think like Maddox is a lot? And this is coming from someone who is also a lot. And later she says that she's so chill. So like, I don't understand the season 4 to season 3 jump.
It's because Ashlyn is having feelings and she doesn't know what they are and how to handle them. So she's like, isn't this person really fucking annoying? Or like, it's a situation where you're like, you know, you're complaining a lot about this one person, about how much you hate them. It's really weird how much you think about this one person. It's like that. She's like, she's a lot because Ashlyn feels a lot and doesn't understand what she's feeling. So that's her snitching on herself. That's not really a comment about Maddox. That's a comment about Ashlyn and what's going on inside Ashlyn.
Because she's thinking about her too much. That's why she's a lot.
Well, also, she probably feels shit and she doesn't understand it. So she's just like, she's a lot. She makes me feel all these weird things. And like, that's a lot. I don't know what to... Yeah, that's her telling on herself. That's not a comment on Maddox.
Okay, fine. I want everyone to love Maddox just because she's sweet. She's just happy and wants to be there, wants everyone else to be happy and be involved.
And eventually it works out, but it's like you just met this person that you don't know. It's hard to like integrate into a tight-knit group that just went through theater war, basically. And is very like bonded. So it's like, yeah, any kind of person who tries to assimilate is going to be like, it's going to be hard. Like, it's hard to get into that. So it takes a bit, and they only have 2 weeks this camp.
So the whole season, like, we see Maddox trying to fit in. And one of main points in her storyline is that her and her girlfriend that she had at camp last year broke up at the camp prom. And Jet trying to get back in Max's good graces. And I think it was Ricky's idea. I think that's how this whole thing happened. So Ricky got Jet to invite Madison to the camp prom. And Maddox takes it personally, like, that Jet doesn't think that she's fitting in with the new girls. So that's why he invited her. And she's like, I don't want to see her. This is literally the anniversary of us breaking up. Like, who
would want to see fucked. Her? Oh my god. It's so fucked.
I mean, the sentiment was sweet, but the play out was terrible. And I do wish Madison wasn't there, because then we have to get through all the season 4 shit with her. That she's
just
not actually
talk
there,
to your but... sister, Jet. What the fuck? Like, this was unnecessary.
He's not very good at communicating. Obviously, and we've seen this because he's the silent, scary person that everyone's terrified of in the beginning of this season.
Yeah, he's the broody guy.
Jet has his own issues going on.
Everyone has issues. Yes. That's how people work.
So that gets better for her, I guess. It makes her more confused, really.
Isn't the girlfriend JoJo Siwa, though?
Yeah, it is. It is JoJo
like,
Siwa.
What the fuck?
I was excited to see her. It also doesn't make sense. I was
no,
about to say
it doesn't.
But it doesn't because she's a Nick kid. Like, she's a Nick star.
I know.
Not a Disney. So
very strange.
We're like, who is actually queer in real life? And could
in this age bracket.
They're like, oh, JoJo Siwa, literally the only person.
It's very strange. But like,
and then
cool.
She can't dance in the show. It's like
she also can't act very well either. It's very weird.
It's not, but I mean, she was never like a really trained actor.
Right, so why is she here? I was so confused.
But I don't understand why they didn't have her dance. Like, why did they write her in as a character with
I don't know. Me? It was such a waste of that particular person's talents to have her play this role. But like,
yeah.
Cool, she's playing a queer person on TV. That's to be celebrated, no knocking to her. But
yes.
Like, I was expecting them to have like a duet together and it never happened.
Yeah, they used to
like,
not use,
what?
They're like, we have JoJo Siwa for
right.
Like 2 hours.
Right.
That's it. That's all we can
yeah.
afford.
That Olivia Colman money, I'm saying. Like, goddamn. Like,
To get the Olivia Colman joke, please go watch our Heartstopper episodes.
I don't love Olivia Colman. Anyway, I wish she was here. I'd be more excited about
Could you imagine Olivia Colman
yes!
showing up?
I can. I can totally imagine her being the aloof camp counselor. Yes, like I wanted that. Just Olivia Colman. As Olivia Colman, just in the show for no reason.
Speaking of camp counselors, Dewey is played by, what's his name? Jason Earls, who was the brother in High School Musical in Hannah, Montana.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I grew up with him, and now he's an adult. And actually, he never looked his age. He's always looked so much younger. Like, he's like 28 when he was playing 16 in Hannah, Montana. And it was insane. Anyway, that he just, the aging. And I think he actually worked on the show as well.
It's pretty cool.
So, yeah, there's your fun fact. But yes, Maddox, I just love her. And
she's great.
Has to go through a lot this season as well with just trying to handle the change. Because it lasts changing, especially if you put in these freaking Wildcats. Because they change everything.
It's a metaphor for growing up. But yeah.
So, before we get to Ashlyn,
I have one thing I want to say that involves both Ashlyn and Maddox, so I thought worth noting.
I'm ready for this. I've been waiting.
So, I don't know if this is worth it, but on the first day where they arrive at camp, Maddox and Ashlyn are both wearing rainbows, so foreshadowing shit. Ashlyn's shirt has a giant rainbow for the heart, and Maddox's socks have rainbows on it, so it's like, from the beginning, the wardrobe's like, watch these two.
You always pay attention to wardrobe.
Because wardrobe says things about the characters.
I don't like clothes. I have trouble paying attention to that. But yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Thank you. That is very helpful.
Yeah. Oh, it sure was. So if you're watching it and you're just like, ah, I see where this is going already.
We've already established many times in this podcast that I don't understand subtext and like little things and I can't assume things. So like I have to be told.
I'm hoping by me bringing it up multiple times, you'll pick up on things.
I pick up on more now.
Exactly. I do. It's a process.
I just have to talk with Theora a lot.
That's why we're here. We're queer. Also, like, how do you not notice the rainbows, Caitlin? Shouldn't you just notice that anyway? Be like, rainbows. Ricky wears rainbows a few times, and I applaud him for that. I love that. Good ally.
He's queer in real life.
Is he? Good for him.
I think he might have been bullied to come out, though.
Another Kit Connor situation. Super fucked up.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure that. Don't quote me on that. But, yeah. So everyone was, like, I think in, like, season 2, he like came out in real life or something.
Aww,
and so they were expecting his character to come out.
That's
and then
how acting works.
Actually, and the people who play Ashlyn and Big Red are also queer in real life, I believe.
Love that.
I know Ashlyn definitely is, but I just saw a comment that said Big Red was
good.
So they were like, I think he's gonna be, or maybe Ashlyn and Big Red, and then the next comments from like a year later saying like, well, 2 out of the 3 came out.
Listen, I thought on the show we were eventually going to get Miss Jen coming out because I was like, she's just like a magnet for attraction. Like, constantly she always has at least 2 people into her. And I was just like, when is Miss Jen going to meet the barista? And like, that starts up. And it never happened. I was like, come on, man. Wasted opportunity. Where's Miss Jen?
By the end of
Jen?
The show, everyone is queer. They don't know it, but they are.
Yeah, I mean, just like life. Yes. Anyway, so speaking of queer, let's get into Ashlyn's journey, because it's very good.
Yes, Ashlyn goes through a whole identity crisis this season.
That is her arc, identity crisis.
That is like the, what does Ashlyn do this season? Identity crisis.
It's so good, though.
Yeah, so she is going through some shit, okay? This poor girl is so confused, because she's just coming off of being Belle in Beauty and the Beast. So, like, she's on a high. Like, she was the lead. She was the main character in her life.
Yes.
Who knew who she was? Like, she had to come into her own and feel comfortable in her own skin, basically, for that role. So now she's, like, confident. And naturally, she is expecting to get a good part in Frozen. Because you don't go backwards, right? But instead, she is cast as the ensemble. The casting process is the suckiest part of doing theater because there's always a part you want, but most times you won't end up getting it. I'm not bitter.
Never. Not at all. Why would you be, Caitlin?
No, not at all. Anyway, once she gets cast in the ensemble by Val, she thinks Val is out to get her something. And, you know, like, that is a pretty natural...
That's how it starts. It's enemies, place to go. Enemies to lovers. That's how it starts.
But, like, Caitlin, if, like, there's one person, like, she's literally the reason you didn't get a role. So it is her fault. But, like, it's just because the other two she saw, whatever.
It's subjective at the end of the day, which is the shitty part.
But this brings me to a whole point that I backed up with statistics. Because I like numbers.
Alrighty.
So, to Val's credit, there aren't a lot of female roles in the musical. Just like Frozen alone. Besides Anna and Elsa, it is mostly males' roles, which can also be said about most shows.
Yep.
At least that's what it feels like. And it's also the reason why it's easier to get a better part if you're a male, Ricky, who doesn't do anything well in auditions.
Nope.
Because, especially at, like, the high school level, there are more females doing it, and with least less roles, there's more competition and more drama.
So what I'm hearing is, in order to get the best person in the best role, we should just get rid of gender and just cast the best person.
Yeah!
Speaking of which, Caitlin, this has nothing to do with High School Musical, but if you're into that, I'm just finishing up a book right now that's queer AF that actually deals with this, and it's so fun. It's called Iris Kelly Doesn't Date by Ashley Harrington Blake. Go read that book. It's so good, and it actually does have this plot line in it. It's magical. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. But
it wasn't you.
It can happen. It
was WhatsApp, because I was to tell you to send it to me in WhatsApp.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
Okay, cool.
We should talk about it together, because I think you'd like it.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so all the groups I was in were struggling to find more shows that were female heavy, because there's, like, none.
Yeah, it sucks.
Mean, Legally Blonde had a lot of male characters. Like, we had to, like, keep pulling in adults to be the male characters. It was that bad. So, statistics, because I may and also get distracted while researching stuff. On Broadway, in the 2017 to 2018 season, only 37% of title characters, which mean non-ensemble, so they actually had a name, were women. In 2018 to 2019, this number went down to 32%. In film, from the top 100 highest grossing films in 2021, only 34% of speaking characters were female, down from 36% in 2020. Now, I know fanboys out here about to come into the comments if they, for some reason, get to this.
Why are you listening to this?
Well, we don't put our shorts on YouTube anymore because
of them.
It doesn't go well. So, yeah, I don't expect to get these comments, but I know people would come in and be like, well, that's because men are doing it better and that's why they're higher grossing. No. That's just because the opportunities aren't there as much in the higher budget films.
Which are action films. 99% of the time.
And I know someone's going to use, like, the Marvels as something, but you know what? There's always other things that go on. And then, also, I've seen a lot of comments from men, like, downing movies before they even see them because it's, like, female-led.
Misogyny is a hell of a drug.
That's the word! Misogyny!
Yeah. No, that's why. This is all patriarchy.
Keep getting
shit.
The word misogyny and monogamy confused.
They are not the same thing, Caitlin. Don't just throw out M words if you don't know what they mean, girl.
Anyway, that's another term. We could do a whole episode on disparity in the media. Anyway.
We definitely could.
Back to Ashlyn.
Anyway, back to Ashlyn.
Meanwhile, Ashlyn also has something against Maddox, in addition to Val, because Maddox can be very blunt and direct, and she may have come on a little too strong when talking to Ashlyn. Like, Maddox really does, like, just like, oh, you're this, you're that. She doesn't ask. She's like, hey, what do you think about this? She just reads
writing on the wall, and she's just like, boom.
Yeah, she's like, you're a fire sign.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, no. And so Ashlyn already feels out of place being in the ensemble, because, like, that was out of left field for her. And I feel like she probably feels attacked by Maddox, when Maddox tries to question her about things that made Ashlyn question herself even more. Because, again, Ashlyn came in feeling sure about herself because being Belle had to, like, have her accept who she is. So right. She's like, this is me. I know myself. I'm good now. And now literally everything she knows is crumbling.
Yeah, she feels like she's taking a bunch of L's. But really, Maddox, it's just like...
Maddox notices every little thing and just starts, like, poking into holes. And it's just crumbling.
Just breaking up the facade. It's okay. It's just, it's painful.
And I think Ashlyn was clinging to everything that she knew about herself. And she didn't want to allow herself to grow. She's like, I don't care if that's who I am. Like, I want to stay what I know.
Because it's safe.
This poor girl is going through a lot of change all at once. Like, we see her go through.
It's 2 weeks, guys. This is 2 weeks. Wild two weeks.
It's sleepaway camp, though, Theora. So we're, it's like.
It's a wild 2 weeks this season.
And I'm not into astrology and stuff like that. But
no, we're not those gays.
we're not astrology gays. I don't think any of us are. I know Brie knows a little bit, but she's not, like, into it.
Yeah,
but I know, like, people are into it.
It's their personality, and,
like,
yes.
It's their personality. It's who they are.
Good for you.
So she seems to be very much into that. Like, she has a psychic. I don't know if that's part of it. Please don't come at me. I don't know much about this area.
No, it just it depends. There's different facets. But, like, Ashlyn is already in that realm because she has a regular psychic she talks to regularly. And then Maddox
and she talks about how, like, she knows who she is. She's a something. I think she said Capricorn, right?
Right. She knows her own astrology sign. So, like, they're showing that they have things in common is what they're demonstrating here.
So when she realizes that she was born at a completely different time of day and ruined the eggs Benedict when she was born, because, you know what? We learned things about EJ and Ashlyn's family of how, like, they're not really great people. At least EJ's parents. I feel so bad for him because his mom was pissed off that Ashlyn ruined the eggs Benedict when she was born. Anyway, so she finds out that she's a Leo rising and she's like, shit, I'm a completely different person than I thought. Like, everything is different because of a different sign. But, like, I do feel like Ashlyn was slightly out of character this season. We've already mentioned before that I don't think the personality connects to either season.
Really? I feel like this was just she's spiraling season.
Well, I felt like she was quite aggressive.
Her life is, she feels like, again, teenagers, big feelings. It's the end of the world.
I'm getting there.
She feels like it's the end of the world. So, like, yeah, she's not handling it well.
She's usually more reserved. Like, especially in, like, the first season and stuff.
But she's not going through turmoil in the first season. She's just chilling, being a side character. Then in the second season, she actually gets in the spotlight as a character and, like, does go through, like, the whole, like, body positivity issue or accepting thing, and then what it means to be a lead versus, like, you know, background. She gets her first, like, love interest. Like, she goes through a lot, and then she gets all the things and is very secure, and then a bomb gets thrown on her. It's okay for her to, like, act out and, like, not know how to handle that. It's all new, and she wasn't expecting any of this.
I was gonna give a reason for it.
There's a reason.
It could be because she really doesn't know who she is right now and maybe trying to overcompensate.
Yes, that is exactly what's happening. So it's not, it is out of character, but it isn't. It's like a normal reaction.
Okay. So Maddox realizes that Ashlyn's dislike of Val may actually be more like how Maddox acted towards Madison at camp. So, like, they started off as enemies to lovers because, you know, like, that's gay.
It's so gay. It's the best.
Maddox.
Well, it's not that. She's, like, again, Maddox is like, you're talking about this person a lot. Like, I see what this is. Like, you're fixated a lot on this one person. You seem to have big feelings about this one. That's what she sees. It's not just that I hate her.
I think
it's
we, like, get that Maddox speech after, like, Ashlyn is literally at the movie night talking about how annoying Val is.
Right.
And, like, I think she also says, like, that how she's perfect in things and something like that.
But just, like, the energy is there. Like,
Maddox is like, oh, my God, girl, you have it so bad.
Yes, exactly. She's like, you have a crush on this person. This is what people with crushes do.
But Maddox knew how bad Ashlyn reacted to the Leo rising thing. She's like, I'm not saying shit right now. I do not want us to have any more issues between the two of us. Well, she doesn't say anything until literally everyone is yelling. So, like, everyone is so upset with each other. And Maddox tells Ashlyn that she shouldn't take out her romantic feelings on Val. And, oh my gosh. And then Ashlyn just starts gay panicking and freaking out. Be like, I have a boyfriend. A male boyfriend.
Again, world is crumbling. Yeah.
So it takes Ashlyn a little while because she's still trying to come to terms with her new self. And she realizes that she has been snapping at Val more once she, like, steps back and stops being too defensive. And after Color War, she's helping pick up streamers, confetti from the floor.
Debris.
And Val says, you don't have to do that. I'm like, girl, there's a lot of stuff on that ground. Take the help.
Yeah, just let her do it, man.
Get a leaf blower at least. So Ashlyn hugs Val at the end after apologizing to her. She's like, Val, I'm sorry I've been so snapping at you. I don't know what's going on with me. And Val, meanwhile, knows exactly what's going on. She's studying psychology in college. Like, she's like, this is so obvious. But I also love that she doesn't say anything about it because, like, it would be really embarrassing. Like, someone that you have a crush on who's, like, you know is straight. But she's just like, I'm going to let you figure it out. Nothing's changing.
Also, like, as a psychologist, like, part of it is, like, the person has to get there. Like, you telling them the answer is not how it works. Like, it's a process. Like, the individual person who's processing, like, has to get to the conclusion. So she's like, I understand what this is. You need to get to your own conclusion so you can get to a place of acceptance. It's fine. Just don't be weird about it. Don't grab my ass or anything. It's fine.
Don't be weird about it.
So, yeah, I feel like she is... taking her psychologist role very seriously, where she's like, okay, you'll get there. You're on a journey. It's fine.
No, it's very
it's
tame.
Fine. I get it.
she's very confident in herself.
As she should be. Like, good for her.
So Ashlyn hugs Val, and there are fireworks. Like, literally fireworks. And, like, I know that that's quite cheesy, but, like, it is geared towards kids, and I feel like that might help them. Like, oh, that's what's going on. So, you know what?
Let's
I'll take
literal.
It.
Literal.
You know what? We get literal. Ashlyn figuring literal. Her shit out. So, oh, also, side note, they talk about the Disney Channel games in this episode. Does anyone remember that? Do you remember that, Theora? No? Okay. So, I lived for those games every year, and there were just, like, these random little short, like, 15-minute things of them playing, like, the Olympics, but they pit all the Disney stars against each other on, like, four different colored teams.
Oh, I guess it's, like, Legend. So I grew up with Legends of the Hidden Temples.
Oh, God. Nick. That show scared the shit out of me when,
like,
I was little.
The OG, not, they tried to revise it, but the OG. That show was great. So, like, everybody tried to rip that off later and make it their own shorter, condensed version. That show was lit.
That thing scared me. I was terrified. I mean, to be fair, The Lion King scared me.
Lion King.
In seventh grade.
The play is terrifying.
It's fun to do the dances.
I'm sure it is, but it's terrifying to be like, what the fuck is happening as a child when you're expecting cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I saw it when I was older, so.
I did not.
Like, you're like, I'm scarred.
It was terrifying. I don't remember it because it was just like, what am I watching?
No, but at the time of the Disney Channel games, I was very obsessed with Sabrina. Not Sabrina. Yeah, Sabrina Bryan. I was about to say Sabrina Carpenter. That's why I was trying to. Sabrina Bryan, who was Dorinda in the Cheetah Girls, and did not understand that obsession back then either. But she was on Team Yellow, so I was Team Yellow all the way. Okay.
Ooh.
So now that Ashlyn knows that she's queer, Carlos gives Ashlyn a pride pin at so the camp cute. Prom like, and welcomes her to the community. Also, like, when did she just, like, make an announcement that she's queer or something?
He has gaydar. He's not blind. He's like, I see what's happening here. I'm not dumb. She has to figure it out, and then I can hug her and welcome her to the Alphabet Mafia, which he does. It's very cute.
I feel like her whole journey to figuring this out was watered down.
Oh, for sure.
It's Disney.
It is Disney.
It's still important, for especially for a Disney-produced show, to have this representation in it.
But truly, I like how it played out, because it's real. Like, she didn't realize what was happening, and, like, that's... Like, it's one of those things where you, like, when you realize you're gay and then you look back and you're like, wow, I was so gay. Like, that thing I did with my friend, like, when I had, like, a crush, like, I was clearly jealous of her and, like, all of this stuff, but it was coming from a place of, like, I wanted to date her. Like, that's exactly what she goes through. Like, that is so real. Like, you know. So, I think it was handled very well. I liked it. I liked her, and the arc took the whole season. It didn't come out of nowhere. Like, they did sprinkle it in, so it was paced very well. And I love that the other queer people are like, I see exactly what's going on. Like, I see the writing on the wall. Like, girl, like, come now. Like, face, like, look at the rainbow. Like, come on. So I like all of that. And I like that they didn't have Maddox, like, try and push her or, like, try and flirt with her, all this stuff. She just let her come to her own conclusion. She let Ashlyn come to her own conclusion. So yeah. I like that about
Maddox
it.
Wasn't there to make Ashlyn realized that she's gay. Maddox was just a lesbian. Like, a full-on lesbian.
Correct.
Just talked about the girl that she liked multiple times. Yeah, like, it was just normal, and it was great. And it wasn't even her how she Ashlyn realized it. It was with Val.
Correct. And I like that, because oftentimes it gets weird where the queer awakening is then the person you date. And that gets weird because... I don't know. Like, it's like, you're the only gay person I know, and I'm dating you. So it becomes hard to, like, talk to them about stuff. So I like the way they get paced as just, like, friends. Like, she's with Ashlyn through the beginning of her queer journey, and then it gets to a romantic place later. Spoiler. But, like, I like that that's not the gay awakening character for Ashlyn. I like that a lot.
And this is why Val is very important to us.
Exactly. Without Val, we wouldn't be here.
Val had to take the role of Miss Jen.
Exactly. Why was Miss Jen everyone. Not People's Gay Awakening? Look at her. She would own that shit. Be like, damn right. Anyway. So yeah, very cute. I enjoy it.
So we'll talk a little bit more about Ashlyn later, but first I want to bring up a parallel to season 2 that is probably obvious, but you know what? I realized it, so I'm putting it in here.
Do it.
So, in the Quinceañera episode in season 205, I believe, Mr. Mazzara asked EJ who the most interesting interview was, but EJ was too busy staring at Gina to answer, which basically told Ben the answer, and he just smiles at him knowingly. Meanwhile, in this season, EJ is now the one to ask Maddox if anyone caught her eye. And Maddox is too busy staring at Ashlyn. I forget what Ashlyn says, but she, like, makes an entrance and walks off camera. Yeah, so Maddox was too busy smiling like an idiot staring at Ashlyn. And EJ knew then that Madeline would be a thing.
Yep.
Yeah, so we knew, like, they told us in this season that they're going to be a thing. They just had to figure out how to get Maddox to their school next season.
Which is ridiculous, but yeah. Because they like to do that a lot. They're like, oh, look, your parents are so super cool with you just changing schools in the middle of the year. It's ridiculous. Anyway, it drives me nuts. But it's a children's show. It's not supposed to be reality. But yeah, no, the writing was on the wall about the two of them. Since they were both wearing rainbows together. Like, it was right there. It was there in the beginning, so. Yay.
Which brings us to talking about the mental health representation in the season. Because we get a little bit of it when, like, last season with people going through their own internal issues. But here we see Courtney's anxiety, like, really play out. Like, they focused on that a lot.
Yes, absolutely. They had a song about it and everything.
I will get there.
Oh, I know. I'm just throwing that in now. Yes.
Because they were like, they're going full in on this anxiety.
Also, like, Courtney is a person now. Like, Courtney's in this season, she's not just Nina's sassy black friend. She's a person.
She's a person who gets a lot more.
Yeah, she's great.
It's really cool that they had
Nina leave.
Gina and Courtney. You know.
Because when you get Olivia Rodrigo out of the picture, the other women can be people.
Again, disclaimer, we're not saying anything bad about Olivia Rodrigo. No, it's just her character.
Her character's name is really annoying. It's easier to say Olivia Rodrigo, but like, yeah, like, no, she leaves and takes the focus away, and then all the other women become people. Because before that, in season one, they're just propping up her character, which is annoying. Same thing with the men. Like, the men, too, were there to prop up Ricky, like, in the first season. It's just all about the two of them, and then everybody became people. Like, this is really where, that's what I mean when I say, like, before, like, season three is where the show really becomes its own thing. Because, like, everybody, they pared down the cast for this camp, and then everybody really got their own plot line and, like, their own, like, fears explored, identities, like, all of them. And it worked really well.
I'm glad Carlos got something.
Exactly.
Well. Like, Carlos got overlooked so much in this show.
Yes, exactly. He was just, like, this sassy gay guy. Like, everybody became, like, a person here, and it was really refreshing to see that. Except Ricky really stayed the same. He was the same person, but
we'll talk about that. Ricky's mostly the same throughout the entire show. Yeah. I think that's the one who stayed the most consistent.
Yeah, so whatever, but like, lead boy aside, everybody like got their own plot, and it felt pretty natural the way they were doing it, except the weird two-week thing that I keep harping on. But other than that, like, it became its own thing here for me.
See, the thing is, you keep bringing up the two-week thing, and in my head, I just can't get over the fact that they said that the Music Man was a month at camp in the first season. So, like, I don't understand how it went from a month to 2 weeks.
Right. I don't understand this camp. That's part of the problem.
And, yeah. Like, I'm used to two-week camps, but, like, I don't understand. And also, this one should have been the four-week one instead of the two-week one.
Yes.
Just be like, this one's going on TV.
Right. It's wild. Which, to be fair, they didn't know until they got there, but, like, it's just wild.
Also, they... They made them sign releases for this documentary without even telling them that they're signing the releases. So, like, that's also illegal and would not hold up in court. So, technically, they could have gotten any footage that they wanted deleted. But, I mean, I guess they should have read it as well.
Their children.
But if they,
but yes.
They thought it was... But no... Their parents would have had to sign it. So you know it's parents' fault.
That is true. That is true. They're minors. So that didn't make sense.
So basically, I think they could have not had this documentary released at all.
But then they wouldn't be, like, insta-famous, etc. So...
I'm just saying.
Like, but that's true. You're right. Valid point.
I'm the legal system here.
I like that we dressed up as Christmas. I didn't realize that till just now.
If you're not watching, Theora is wearing green and I'm wearing red, and I found another costume to wear this time. Last time I was in my gold sequin jacket thingy, and now I'm in my Britney Spears outfit.
Those are some impressive buttons, Caitlin.
Thanks. I'm surprised they still lasted. Anyway, that is so off topic right now.
It is all good.
Okay.
Courtney and her anxiety.
Courtney! Oh, Courtney. It's rough going through mental health, especially when you're not home. Like, I think this might be the first time she was removed from her house. Like,
I think so, yeah.
Sleeping over somewhere definitely, at least for me, brings my anxiety out. And, like, if I'm not fully mentally healthy in there, like, I'm just like, can I go home?
It's a lot.
It doesn't even matter where I am. Like, I could want to be somewhere, and it's just, like, I just want to feel comfortable right now, not terrified.
Yeah.
So, Carlos brings up that Courtney seems anxious, and this was after Courtney had a phone call with her mom talking about being anxious and how, like, she's just so confused about everything. And so Courtney thinks that Gina told him what her mom said on the phone, and I think it's important to show that, like, she feels ashamed of her anxiety, but she really shouldn't, because I guarantee half the people in that room get anxious at least.
Totally.
Anxiety
is not uncommon. Crippling anxiety, sure, but, like, anxiety in general. But, like, they're trying to establish that, like, Courtney is the person who puts a lot of pressure on herself to be perfect. And so that in and of itself causes anxiety. And then to be, like, made the lead, which she wasn't, I think, truly expecting, and, like, being pushed so much out of her comfort zone in such a short amount of time, like, that's scary.
Yeah, so and all these...
everything.
There's, like, all these little obstacles, like getting the lead. They keep piling on her, and one of the big things that breaks her confidence is that climbing wall.
Yeah, exactly.
She mentions up front, like, she talks about how she is super competitive and she will cheat. And Maddox thinks, okay, cool, we're gonna win. She's like, but I am afraid of heights.
Yeah, that's cute.
Like, oh, okay, so you win some, you lose some, something like that. But this poor girl in this climbing wall, like, she is so pressured to climb up this wall, and when she couldn't do it, she's like, okay, Gina won, we don't have to do it anymore. She didn't really, like, make it off the ground. Everyone starts chanting for her to do it, and I could not imagine what it felt like for her in that moment, because just, like, everyone telling you to do something that you know you can't, like, you're not capable of right now, and it's feels like it's you're gonna die if you have to.
Yeah.
And then luckily Miss Jen was there, and, like, she's the one who comes up, and she's like,
children.
Yeah. You will do it when you're ready. And she's like, I'm telling you, I'm not ready. And she wasn't. And Miss Jen just, like, hugs her and, like, reassures her. And Miss Jen is so sweet with all of them. And I love that she's always there, no matter what.
It's important to lesson that, like, setting boundaries is okay with people. Like, you don't have to give it to peer pressure all the time. Like, yeah, like, there's, like, the, hey, if you're afraid of something, it probably means you should do it, because you're, as a saying for getting out of your comfort zone, because if you just are crippled by your fear and never do anything, you'll never change or grow, which is true. But, like, if you feel like you're going to die, like, because of your anxiety, that is not a reason to just do it anyway. Like, listen to your body. It's okay. Like, if you're not ready, you're not ready, and it's okay to set that boundary. So that is an important lesson that this is showing.
Yeah, I'm still working on that lesson.
It's hard.
It is. Very vulnerable to peer pressure. Anyway, so the prom is the night before opening night, and everything was piling on her too much. And, like, she is freaking out. I mean, she has a lead role, and it's going to be aired on Disney. Like, that's the thing we have to keep bringing up. It's like,
yeah,
this whole thing is going to be aired on Disney.
Right.
And live streamed. Like, it's not even, like, something that can be edited later.
Yeah.
And she tries to give Ashlyn her part, and, like, props to Ashlyn for, like, not being, like, because, like, the whole time, Ashlyn wants a part. And, like, she even tells, like, Miss Jen tries to say, are you their long-lost third sister that they find on Ancestry.com? And Ashlyn's like, we actually can't add characters to this one. I checked. I'm like, thank you, because it's illegal! Anyway, go watch the last episode if you haven't, to me talking about all the illegal things in this show. So Ashlyn tells her that she can't do it, that she's not going to do the role for her because Courtney can do it, and she's going to kill it.
Yeah.
Which, go, girl.
Yes. Supportive
yes.
friend.
But Courtney is so worried about messing the show up, but she has some great friends around her, and they help her and encourage her to climb that wall, which she does conquer, and it's a great episode. Ending for the episode where she does end up climbing the wall. But I love that Maddox is with them too.
Yes.
And so in the beginning of that whole scene, Courtney is singing this prayer that she says that helps ground her and calm her down. And when everyone is having such a bad night and they're just, like, all about to go to bed, Ashlyn's like, can I borrow it? And she starts singing it to ground her and just, like, also bring everyone together. And then Gina comes in. And then Ashlyn actually asks Maddox to come in, because Maddox is standing, like, there. Like, I'm not actually in this crowd yet. But she's there. And, like, but Ashlyn is trying to welcome her in. She's like, I see you. I know who you are. Like, you've been just trying to fit in with us. We're all the same. Because they're theater kids. Let's be real.
Yeah.
They have a lot
exactly.
in common.
Exactly. Yes. Camaraderie.
And the song that Courtney sings, because, like, the backgrounds are the other girls, it's so beautiful. And Dara, I've been saying her name wrong the first two episodes, I'm so sorry, I've been saying Dara, it's actually Dara wrote this song, which makes it even better. So the lyrics are, "Here I come, loud as a lion. I'll keep on fighting. I've just begun. See the horizon. I'll keep on climbing." A little on the nose there. "I've shown that I've grown through the changes. Had to prove to myself I'ma make it. Here I come. I won't stop till the war is won. I can be bold, be unashamed, be in control, be unafraid, letting it show I was born to be brave." So I love like the affirmations that are in there, because like she can just like keep telling herself like, I can do this, I am bold, I'm in control of what happens. And it's also a great callback to her first song in the series, Born to be Brave, which she kills many times in the show. And then when Courtney is climbing the wall, the background of the wall disappears. I mean, you still see the wall, but like the world around it disappears and you just see the stars.
Ooh, that's good.
And it's just like how it was when Ashlyn was playing the piano when she was singing Rising, after she like was starting to realize that she's not who she thought she was and that she's coming into her own. And it, in Ashlyn's song, the stars, like, it starts in a little bit in the background, and then it becomes where it just, like, encompasses her and the piano. And I think the stars here represent opening up to new things and endless possibilities. Especially since the background just, and it adds more as she's singing, because, like, she's accepting herself more.
Damn, that's so good. Good job, Caitlin. And plus all the astrology shit, too, like... It's like empowering also.
Stars are a big thing.
Oh, I love
and
that.
I mean, her middle name's literally Moon.
That's true. But also like for the two of them, like it's like they have to conquer this on their own in a way. Like, yeah, they have a lot of supportive friends. Like Courtney's friends are all there as she's literally climbing the wall. And like Ashlyn has the support system of her theater group. But like this is like a personal journey where they have to go into the unknown, like space, the final frontier, by themselves. Yeah, so that's great. No, I love that you pointed that out. That's really beautiful. Good, cinematography choice? Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know who would make that decision. Director? Good directing?
Yeah, it would be...
Yeah, shout out to whoever did that. That's beautiful and brilliant.
I think it would be director or DP.
Yeah. Love the symbolism. I'm here for symbolism.
And then visual effects people executed
it. Yeah. Well done.
But after that, during the performance, so the Frozen performance, Courtney begins freaking out about messing up again. And I love that they show her still struggling with this, because mental health is a roller coaster. And just because you can conquer one thing, like this wall, it doesn't mean that you're magically cured of these Correct. Thoughts. They're going to keep coming back. Like, they probably came back 5 seconds after she conquered the wall. And then... Something else I love is that little Elsa, played by Alex, played by Aria Banks in real life. I don't think that's her last name. Aria Brooks. She gives Courtney a pep talk and gets her through her anxiety when they're backstage. Also, I don't understand how they're like on stage and like Courtney was in bed when they were like literally performing the show and then had listen, time. Because like, isn't Elsa in this?
I don't know.
I'm really confused about confused. This show.
It's fine. It's 2 weeks. It's this weird warp time here and I don't understand. Let's just move past it. Yeah, it's weird.
But I love that it was the little one talking to her about this because it shows that since we're more open with talking about mental health, like we've gotten so much better like in the media and just in general in life talking about it, but it shows that by valuing our mental health, the younger generation is better equipped to handle their feelings. They have more words to describe how they're feeling. They know how to identify their feelings. And I mean, like, yes, they aren't technically that far apart in age in the show, but it has the essence. So
yeah, agreed.
I just love that scene.
It's cute.
It's just like, and also, because she's like, little Elsa was talking about how she has a therapist. And Courtney's like, you have a therapist? She's like, oh yeah, everyone should. It's great. Which, yes, we need more therapists too, because those poor people are overworked.
Yes. Mental health positivity.
Anything else to add before we get to one of my favorite weird, really weird scenes in this whole season?
Let's get into it. Do it. Dive right in.
let's just talk about this documentary trailer.
Do it.
Okay, so first of all, the premiere for this documentary is 1 month after they do the show. What kind of Taylor Swift timeline is this?
I don't know. Disney magic.
Because she was able to put her documentary, not documentary, but show out, movie out really quickly. Like, I don't, a 1 month? Okay.
Disney magic, I guess. It is wild. Time means nothing this season. That's my point. It means nothing.
So the trailer makes it look like Maddox and Ashlyn have a crush on each other. And let's be real, Maddox at least definitely did.
It was definitely mutual. It's just Ashlyn didn't know what was going on and still doesn't.
But, like, I thought Ashlyn, I mean, I guess you can like two people at the same time.
You definitely
Ashlyn
can.
Ashlyn was just like, girls, that's all she was thinking.
Right.
Like, girls, this summer.
She definitely, because she was snapping at her too. It's not, yeah. She just didn't recognize it. Literally,
but,
yeah.
When they're watching it, Maddox's face after they talk about they show it,
yeah,
in between this whole thing happening, Maddox's face looks like she got caught with her hand in a cookie jar and she's just like, oh shit, they saw it. And then
the funny part about that too is that, like, the whole plot of the documentary drama was that Ricky said something about liking Gina, and it was like a big fear that that was going to come out, but then the other crush actually comes out in the documentary.
Yeah, I don't even think they showed it in the trailer, which I'm really surprised
by.
No,
it was headbaiting where they're like, oh shit, that's going to be the relationship drama, but it's actually these queers, which is fun.
They're like, yes, the queers have their time of...
They do.
...messiness. So Ashlyn thinks it was just edited like that and says they shouldn't have signed the release forms. But then the camera pans to Maddox and she just turns her head away and looks a little embarrassed. She's just like, oh, okay. I mean, yeah, sure, they edited it like that.
Sure.
So I don't think that whole thing was taken out of context, especially EJ... So EJ in there says, oh, yeah, that's going to be a thing. And it looks like Ashlyn thinks that they edited it like that to be it talking about Ashlyn and Maddox. But EJ didn't speak up and say that that's not what he meant when everyone else was doing that, when they took them out of context. So,
well, we get confirmation in season 4 that, like, he definitely knew that we're going to be a thing because he carved their initials into a tree or whatever. So, like... Yes.
Which is very weird.
It's so weird.
He had no time to interact with people, but he had time to
carve initials into a tree that weren't his and Gina's. Exactly. It's weird, but yeah, exactly. Plus, like, they were very heavy-handed with the crush, because you also had the scene you pointed out earlier where, like, Maddox was clearly staring at Ashlyn. Like, it's been there since the rainbow close.
I think Ashlyn was still figuring it out, but I think Maddox fully felt those feelings.
Correct. Because one of them has been in their queerness longer than the other. Like, yes, it's a journey, like, but it's there.
Maddox probably hated that she had a crush on Val and not her in the beginning.
Well, yes, probably.
So when they wrote their names on the wall after their performance, Ashlyn first wrote hers and she has a little heart at the end of it, but then Gadget... after Ashlyn is the important part, writes hers right next to Ashlyn's name and puts a heart in front of it. So it looks like their hearts are together already.
And Gadget is Maddox's camp nickname.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so exactly. It gets interchangeable in the show.
Yes. But again, it's all there. But the end of this documentary was my favorite and, like, what moment?
I don't understand. Okay. So this is what they chose to end the trailer on. Okay?
It's so weird.
So not only is this in the trailer, this is what they end it on. So, Big Red pops on the screen. I don't even know when they even interviewed
him. He's not even in this.
He's not in the camp. He's not in the show.
Right.
So it just ends with him saying, I'm Big Red. I'm Ashlyn's boyfriend. And I'm bi. Everyone's face is just like,
okay, but I love Ricky and Ashlyn look at each other and Ricky's like, they're like, good for him.
Yeah,
they're like, okay, sure, whatever. But so random and just, like, out of nowhere, but I love it.
And I love that Ash was just like, oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Because, like, they both realized they're queer this year.
Yeah. And they're just supportive of their friend. And I love that.
But now I kind of want to watch an episode where all the characters watch the High School Musical, the musical, the series together and react to it. Because I feel like if they saw this, they'd be like, what the hell?
It'd be cute.
But yeah. Anything else about season three?
That was season three. Season three's fun.
And queer.
Yes. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was what made me actually watch the show.
Oh, I bet. Excuse me.
So I think that's it for this season.
Yeah. But before we sign off, we need to rate this with our Lesbian Jesus Hydration Scale, which is a super scientific product of gay science, an accurate measurement for determining how valuable a piece of queer media is to the queer media library. Why are we hydrating? Because queer media, like water, is essential for life. And it keeps you fresh and young and invigorated. So, Caitlin, based on the Lesbian Jesus Hydration Scale, scale 1 to 10, how much would you hydrate for High School Musical, the Series, Season 3?
7.5?
Good, I was going to say 7. Yeah, I think this has the most queerness. I like Ashlyn's journey was really good. You got Maddox and her drama, which was good. Val being a supportive ally. Carlos is in there because he has, like, the gay man stereotype body type issues that were also discussed. We discussed in another episode, but that happens here, too. Big Red's random confession at the end. Like, there's just a lot. I thought it was good. And it sets up the next season to be queer also, which I appreciate, personally. So,
7. And then it's not queer, but, like, the mental health was a big thing.
Yeah.
Supported it as well.
And this is the first season that felt like its own thing, so I appreciate that overall, so.
Yeah. It gets better as it goes. I see some people say that after season one, it goes downhill, or, like, they should have ended the show when Olivia Rodrigo left. And I'm just like, no!
The show should have began when she left. Like, she was annoying.
Okay, so if you made it this far in this episode, we want to know. I'm going to give you a secret word that we want to challenge you to use in a comment or podcast review without looking up the spelling. That is the important part. You can't look it up. So today's secret word is soubrette, and it means a high female vocal range or an actress in an opera with such a vocal range.
How fitting. All right, guys, well, let's test your spelling skills. In the comments, we will continue with our High School Musical, the Musical, the Series journey next time when we cover season 4. But until then, hydrate for Lesbian Jesus.
And gay it up all over the place.
Bye.
Bye.